Let us pray. Come, Lord Jesus, guide us on our journey to the foot of your cross to witness the depth of your love, and then to the empty tomb to witness the height of your glory. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This, of course, is the first Sunday in the season of Lent, a season of deep reflection on the passion and death of Jesus. We began our Lenten journey this past Wednesday with imposition of ashes and Holy Communion. And today we're presented with a classic and appropriate reading from the Holy Gospel, specifically St. Luke's account of the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. Now first, let's get some context for this reading. You know I love context. Jesus is at the beginning of his ministry, having just been baptized by John and identified as the Son of God by the Father. Jesus spends his first 40 days on the job in the wilderness to be in communion with God and to reflect on his upcoming ministry. And while he's there, the devil confronts him. Probably isn't too surprising to read in our gospel lesson that Jesus was able to overcome temptation. I mean, for a person with Jesus' devotion and strength, besides the fact that he is the, he's God incarnate, evading the devil's traps must have been a piece of cake, right? Well, we make that assumption based on the belief that temptation only means the urge to do something wrong, the desire to do something that which will benefit us even if it violates God's will or the laws of society or costs someone else something. For example, you've been given the responsibility of collecting money for a project or organization, and since no one really knows how much you've collected, and you're a little short on cash, you think about maybe keeping a little bit of it. I mean, no one's going to miss this 20, right? Or you're in a tight situation with your spouse, and the easiest way to weasel out of it, you think, is maybe tell a little white lie. I mean, who here has never done that one? What, am I the only one? Come on, God. But the temptations of Jesus we read about in our text were not designed so much to get Jesus to do something wrong, as they were attempts to get Jesus to lose sight of who he was, to deny his purpose, and to leave unfulfilled the mission God has given him. You see, I think the devil felt that if he could get Jesus to give in, even for just a blink of an eye, even if no one else was looking, he'd have humanity bagged for sure. So what's involved in Jesus' wilderness experience with the devil goes far deeper than just disobeying God's will and is far more dangerous. And we need to look at this carefully because it has a message that's relevant to all of us in our own lives. The gospel story this morning follows on the heels of Jesus' baptism when he was baptized in the Jordan and he heard the voice of God saying, "You are my beloved son." Pretty clear what all that means. Now out in the barren wilderness, on the other side of the Jordan, he hears the devil saying, "If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God." The devil seems to be raising a question about Jesus' identity, who Jesus is or is not. The deal is the devil knows exactly who Jesus is, God incarnate. He also knows that Jesus is fully human as well and vulnerable to the same temptations we are. And so he's capitalizing on that. In effect, he asks, "How can you, Jesus of Nazareth, a poor Galilean carpenter, think you're the long-awaited Messiah? How can you lead without followers? Who would ever believe in you?" See how subtle the devil is? Not in persuading Jesus to do something wrong, but in getting Jesus to question who he is, even deny it, if for just a moment. What's at stake here is his identity, who is he? In the same way, the devil also compels us to question our own identity. Who and whose are we? The most important thing you and I possess is our identity. Knowing our identity, who and whose we are, is essential to our sense of wholeness as baptized children of God and as human beings. So the devil's primary objective is not getting us to do something wrong, something bad. I mean, that's certainly part of his intent, for sure, but rather to cause us to lose track of or even deny who we are, to give up our identity as children of God, to lose our sense of belonging to the family of God. The ways of the devil are subtle, clever, and deadly. And this particular temptation is far more sinister than any impulse to do something wrong. Okay, tell me if you've never had this one of any of these thoughts. If I am a child of God, then why don't I feel more like one? The implication is that if you don't feel like one, then maybe you aren't one, or you're not worthy. Or how about this temptation? If I am a child of God, then why don't I act more like it? I know the last times I don't act like one. I mean, how about you? Got anything? Why do I have the thoughts I sometimes have? Why do I do the things I sometimes do? And why don't I seem to be getting any better? The devil is filled with delight when we begin to ask these kinds of questions of ourselves, when we start doubting our identity in Christ. And that's exactly what the devil lives for. That's the devil's in to draw us away from God. The truth is that our identity as children of God rests on the fact that God's claim has been laid upon us. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." Beginning with our baptism, he claimed us, and Christ has been claiming us as his own ever since. And we may not always be strong in our faith. We may not always feel like God could love us. We may not always act like children of God. But we are each a child of God because Christ has chosen us and given us faith to acknowledge his claim on our lives. And when we do that, when we acknowledge our faith, however faint it might be, that's when we begin to win our own battle with the devil. Now, if you're anything like me, you need to be encouraged every day by the Holy Spirit to step out in the joy and freedom of our true identity and press on in confidence. I mean, even Martin Luther would have bouts of discouragement. He saw it as a temptation of the devil, and he would turn to his ancient foe and cry out, "I am baptized! I am baptized!" True story, he'd yell it out. He needed the reassurance of his identity that he belonged to Jesus just like we do. Out there in the wilderness, Jesus was tempted and tested as the devil tried to get him to compromise his high calling. "Turn this stone into bread," the devil taunted. But Jesus wasn't ready to substitute the short-term good for the long-term best. Or how about the temptation to fall down and worship the devil? I mean, hey, why not? It's like the devil was saying, "Think of yourself, Jesus. Why suffer the rejection of these puny people? Why go through the agony of betrayal and denial and desertion by your closest friends? Why endure the suffering of the cross? You have to look out for yourself. It'll cost you so little. Just bow down before me, just for a moment. Everyone will understand, even the Father. Just makes good sense. Don't be so hard on yourself." But Jesus had come with a mission that was far more important than merely what he could get for himself. In other words, it wasn't all about him. And I'm here to tell you, and this gospel account tells us, that that's what the devil wants to hear from us. It's all about me. God isn't so relevant out here on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday. I can do this on my own. It's all about what I can get for myself. And therein is the anthem of much of our society today. The devil is alive and working. Just turn on the news and see what's happening in Washington. If that's not the devil at work, I don't know what is. I believe the Christian church on earth, each congregation, each one of us who identify ourselves as blessed and baptized children of God, are the last best hope for this world, short of Christ returning. Every day we are tempted to abandon our call, to sink into what is ultimately a deadly way of life, living merely as consumers in God's world, taking the easy way out and living for ourselves. This is then that we neglect and fall away from our worship of God and ministry in His name. Is when things other than Jesus become our Lord and our false Savior that the devil rejoices, because then he has succeeded in drawing us away from our identity, getting us to let it slip away even without our knowing it, until there's a crisis and we look around and see nothing but wilderness. It's when other priorities lead us slowly but surely to elbow God out of our daily lives as we make room for other priorities. I mean, that's the game, y'all, and it's a deadly one. This is an especially relevant and timely confession for us to make during this season of Lent. So now that we've made our confession, what do we do about it? Well, out there in the wilderness, our Lord had nothing to rely on except the old familiar words of Scripture. One does not live by bread alone. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. There's a good chance that Jesus didn't feel much like the Son of God out there in the wastelands because He was hungry and exhausted. But He had the Scriptures. He knew that the Father was with Him and in Him, and he gave himself to obeying what he knew and believed about God. Often when the pull of temptation, with that draw, the only thing that lets us do battle with the devil is our faith in Christ and his clear promises. And there is tremendous power in that. This battle, this spiritual warfare is real. And it goes on every day. Our Lord's question is simply this: am I not enough for you? So during this season of contemplation, I would invite you to let this be one of your prayers. Oh Lord God, where I have drifted into compromise with the world, loving its gods, admiring its ways, wanting its rewards, take me into a solitude of some wilderness of your making, and there let me speak my yes to you for the glory of your name and for the salvation of my soul. Amen.